you that Calvary did cover it all. Lord, it's impossible for man, Lord, to take care of his sin problem unless the Lord does it, Lord. It'll never get done. We thank you that our sins were nailed to the tree there where Jesus bled and hung there and bled and died. We thank you that the blood that flows from Calvary, Lord, can make the vilest sinner clean. We thank you, Lord, for the great standing we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we've been identified with his death on the cross, we who are saved. And we thank you for that tonight. Bless us as we study this tremendous book of Esther, and may we be thrilled and to see the hand of God moving in this book and protecting his people, working in the lives of his people. And help us now in our study together tonight. May it be profitable. Bless tomorrow night and give us victory, Lord. And on Sunday, I pray we'll have a great day for the glory of God. Thank you for what you did last Sunday night. Thank you for that sweet touch of your presence. Now be with us in this study tonight. Bless our boys and girls in the Awana program. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's just pray for Jody Colson. We took the offering for him. Let's pray for him. Father, we thank you for this privilege of interceding on the behalf of this young missionary there in the islands, Lord, and over there to start a church, already started one, Lord, and has this tremendous financial load upon him. May somehow, Lord, you straighten his financial situation out and meet his needs and help him, and bless his dear wife, touch the little one, and give them a great ministry. And may, Father, they see that God is able to take care of his children. And bless him tonight, now we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We started the book of Esther 2 weeks ago, and let me just briefly bring you up. We finished the first two chapters and didn't get too far, but the book Esther is a beautiful story. The story of Mordecai, his bringing up his cousin Esther is a beautiful thing. He loved her like a daughter, and she loved him like a father, even though they were cousins, and she was orphaned, and Mordecai took her in his home and raised her and did a great job in raising her right. And then the book of Esther, we see the providence of God, as I emphasized 2 weeks ago tonight, so I won't go into that until later on. I might say something about it. But in the first chapter, we see that King Ahasuerus, the Persian, Medo-Persian king, was having a great feast, and probably they got good and high and good and drunk on their wines and liquors. And then he wanted the queen to come in and probably wanted her to show off her nudity to this crowd. And Queen Vashti refused. And because of this, to make a long story short, she was deposed as queen. And then in chapter 2, we have a beauty contest going on. The king sent out across the land and brought all the fine-looking, beautiful, young virgins, a number of them in. And of that bunch that came in, he was going to select one to be the queen. And providentially, Queen Esther was one of those selected to be in the beauty contest. And then the king, she had such a wonderful spirit and a wonderful attitude. Along with her physical beauty, she had a beautiful spirit. And girls, let me say this, you teen girls, you young girls, you know, if you're not too beautiful physically, you can have a beautiful spirit. And a lot of times that'll overcome the outward, maybe, lack of beauty. And then somebody that's outwardly beautiful with a poor attitude and a poor spirit, you don't want to get around them even though they're beautiful. So the greatest beauty is inward beauty. And so you can't hardly do a whole lot of what the Lord gives you as far as outward looks, but you can do a lot with your attitude And you can be a beautiful person. I know a lady that doesn't have a beautiful face, but she has such a beautiful attitude and such a friendly attitude and so pleasant, you forget that she's not doesn't have a beautiful face and you think she's a beautiful person. So we need to work on our attitude. We need, as a Christian, men and women, young people, boys and girls, we ought to work on having an attitude that's pleasant and that is Christ-like and kind and helpful, and you can be a beautiful person. But anyway, she had a beautiful spirit as well as a beautiful body, and the king made her the queen. And so I've just briefly reviewed what we went over the other night. But then we want to, in chapter 2 or chapter 3, Haman, the Jew hater, comes on the scene. And Haman was promoted to be the next to the king in the 127 provinces. And they were supposed to reverence Haman. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the gates bowed in reverence to Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai, one of the great men of the word of God, Mordecai bowed not nor did him reverence. Why? Because God, it disobeyed the word of God. He wouldn't do it. So this made Mordecai, mad as a wet hen. And he decided that because this, he was going to kill all the Jews. And look at chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So he took his wrath not out on just Mordecai, because he wouldn't bow down and reverence him and worship him and give him and exalt him. And so he took his wrath out on all the Jews. And then he went into the king and offered him a bribe and got it in writing to kill all the Jews in the 127 provinces. Look at 3:8. If it please a king, let it be written, this is Haman talking, that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it unto the king's treasure. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And then look at verse 13. And letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces, notice, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children, the women, in one day, even the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. In other words, it's open season, open hunting season on Jews. Kill them and take all of their possessions as a spoil. And then Mordecai heard about this. Keep in mind now, there's all through this book, and I don't have time to even go into this, that an interesting thing is said about Haman, that he was a Jew's enemy. The enemies of the Jews, we find four or five times in the book of Esther. And Haman was a Jew hater. And remember what God's promise was back in 12:3 to Abraham and his seed. What were the promises of God to the seed of Abraham? That I'll do what? Bless them that bless thee, and do what? Curse them that curse thee. And God has kept that promise for 4,000 years. And he's about ready to keep that promise now in the book of Esther. He's about ready to keep his promise to Abraham. And I'm afraid we as a nation today are about ready to turn against the Jews. About ready to turn against the Jews. And it will be a tragic mistake. We'll sign our death warrant if we as a nation turn against the nation Israel. But this is the beginning of anti-Semitism on a large scale right here. And then, now, after Mordecai heard the first cousin, the for all practical purposes, was Esther's father. He brought her up. He raised her. And Mordecai heard of the decree concerning the Jews. Now, keep in mind, now, where's Esther? She's in the king's palace. But, I did mention this, she hadn't told the king that she was a Jew. So up until right now, up till we get to chapter 4, the king didn't know that he was married to a Jew. And so Mordecai now sent a copy of the decree to Esther and sent word for her to go into the king and reveal that she was a Jew and make a request to him on the behalf of her people. Look at chapter 4, verse 5. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai under the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened to him and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasures for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it to Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. Now, after she received that, she sent word back to Mordecai that the king, she couldn't go in because it was the king's rules that if you didn't go into him unless you requested, and if you went in and if he didn't hand the scepter to you, then they took your life. They killed you. And she sent word back that she had not gone and had not been called in to the king for 30 days. They must have had a real marital spat there. I mean, a husband hadn't seen his wife 30 days. I mean, there's problems there. So there's very, seemed like things had really cooled off in that marriage. But, and look at, let's see, where was I? Verse 11, look at verse 11. Notice the answer now from Esther to Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people, this is the answer to Mordecai by Esther. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death. If here's a king on the throne, and if you walk in uninvited to the king and he doesn't hand out the scepter to you, then it's right then. You've signed your death warrant. So that's what she's saying. Except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. So she said, I can't go. I might cost me my life. Then Mordecai didn't let her off the hook that easy. And notice now, he sent her a second message in verse 14. We'll look at 13. Think not that with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And then underline this. This right here is the message, the great challenge of the book of Esther. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? What a statement that is. Esther, God, what Mordecai is saying, Esther, God put you where you are for a purpose. You know, I sort of believe God has put us where we are if we're saved and in the will of God. God's put us where we are for a purpose. Now, what you and I folks need to do tonight, am I fulfilling the purpose of God for my life? And if you are, that's success. And he says, so God has brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this. And so Esther reacted quickly to this, and in her answer we see the answer. Now keep in mind that it could cause her life. When she went in for the king, and only the king's scepter held out to her could save her life, and the Jewish people too. The Jewish people were at stake. But she's willing now to take her life in her hands, and she was the only hope the Jews had. And so she took a chance. And look at verse 16. Esther says, go gather together. This is her message back to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise. In other words, all of the Jews fast 3 days and pray, and so will I fast, and my maidens will fast. And so will I go in after 3 days fasting and prayer, going unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So this is the second great statement, great theme of Esther. If I perish, I perish. And then we see the great courage of Esther in chapter 5. She got dressed up, pretty herself up, put on her prettiest rouge, fixed her hair, had the hair dresser come in. She got her prettiest clothes on. She went in with a beautiful smile. And then we see that Esther, her courage, now her life could be taken. If the king did not, if he is still up a myth tree, he'd just say, well, sister, I'm not going to put the scepter out to you. Maybe you might try one of the other young ladies, might take this runner-up in that beauty contest. No. Look at what happened in chapter 5, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And then notice the first thing that the king said. We'll read on verse 2 first. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king, so her life is spared. She prayed, she took a chance, and her life is spared. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then notice the first thing the king said. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. Then notice her answer in verse 4. Then, and Esther answered, if it seem good. And what a request this, what an unusual request this is. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman, the Jew hater now, and Haman, come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. This was an unusual request. But notice, verse 5, then the king said, cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared Then we see now Esther making a second request. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said. So she requests a second time that Haman come to a banquet. Boy, Haman left, and he was proud as a peacock. Went home telling his wife, I've been the only one invited to a banquet. Guess what, honey? Little old me's the only one been invited to dine with the king and the queen. But there was something that still bothered Haman. Mordecai still bugged him. I mean, here a man had everything in the world, because Mordecai, one person wouldn't bow down, he let that bug him, and it brought his downfall. And he and his wife, Haman and his wife, on in there, the rest of these verses, they decided they'd build a gallows 75 feet high to hang Mordecai on the next day. Look at verses 13 to 14. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends and him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, that's 75 feet, cubit, foot and a half. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. So here is the gallows are made to hang Mordecai on. But something happened to the king that night. He got Holy Ghost amnesia. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles that were read before the king. Turn right here back before we move, go to the second verse. Hold your place and look over at chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, 23. Chapter 2, 21, verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. And the thing was told was known to Mordecai, and was who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king therefore in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. And then you see how God knows how to get the job done, doesn't it? God knows how to get the job done. Then look, the king could not sleep, and I believe God put it on his heart to read those chronicles. Look at verse 2 now, back chapter 6, verse 2. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And guess who walks up just at that time when the king's servants told him nothing has been done for Mordecai? Nobody but the Jew-hater, Mr. Haman. You see, folks, God's on time. If we'll trust God, God somehow will take care of us. Just as they said nothing's been done, up walks Mr. Haman. And look at verse 6. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? This is funny. Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom will the king delight to do honor more than to myself? So he thought, brother, now he's surely thinking about little old me, and he's going to honor me. And then notice what the king told Haman, or Haman told the king what he think ought to be done to the person the king wanted to honor. Verse 7, and Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, but he really pours it on. He really lays it on. Let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal, I mean, the crown that set on his head, which is set upon his head, let him wear that. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. So now old Haman is getting the shock of his life. Look at verse 10 now. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew. Hallelujah. That's God at work, folks. That sitteth at the king's gate, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. So Haman went home sad that night. His lip was dragging the ground, and the king had to send after him, and almost forcibly his assistants bring him to the banquet where he was to dine with the king and Esther. And then we see that the boldness of Queen Esther, the future of her countrymen, the Jews, depended on her. And then look at verses 3 and 4 at another request she made. Then the Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king. Now here they are at the banquet table. And Haman there, who is going to kill all the Jews, and she's a Jew. If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king asked in verse 5, then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther, the queen, who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And then in verse 6, Esther pointed her finger and said, the adversary and enemy is, then she points to Haman and says, this wicked Haman. And the king got mad. He got up and walked out into his garden. He was so mad that Haman was going to kill the Jews and kill, which would include Esther. And when he, then Haman was begging Esther for his life. And when the king came back in from the garden, there he was lying on his bed pleading with her. The king thought that Haman was molesting his wife, and the king ordered him hanged. And look and see where Haman was hanged in verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Then Mordecai was honored by the king, the king knew both Mordecai and Esther were Jews, and he honored Mordecai. Look at chapter, 9, verse 4. For Mordecai was great. Now the law that Haman got the king to send out in 127 provinces, it had been countermanded, and so the law went out. The Jews are to defend themselves, and there was a great, God gave great deliverance. And then notice how God exalted his man. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Then look over at chapter 10, verse 3. For Mordecai the Jew was next under King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. And then one other thing about this, we see that the feast of Purim was instituted. And the Jews celebrated their deliverance from this massacre there planned by Haman. And they call this day the Feast of Purim, which Purim means lot. And Haman cast lots, pur, to ascertain or to decide the day he was going to destroy the Jews. And so they called it the Feast of Purim. Now, and by the way, the Jews have been keeping this feast day for 2,500 years, the Feast of Purim. Now the question, as we conclude this study tonight, was God in all this? Certainly he was, but I want you to look over to Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs. This is a tremendous verse. You ought to underline this verse in your Bible. Proverbs 21, verse 1. Don't ever forget this truth out of Proverbs 21:1. You ought to see this. This is worth your coming here tonight just to see Proverbs 21:1. The Word of God says, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord, as the rivers of water. And this is what God can do. He can intervene in the affairs of men. As the rivers of water, he turneth it. Whithersoever he will. And so we see the hand of God all through the book of Esther. And then turn back to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. Proverbs 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Haman cast lots to decide which day they destroyed the Jews on. But God cast the last lot, and he had the final say. Now let me close with this. That's the message of the book of Esther. God is in control in the affairs of man. Man proposes, but God disposes. Now they've already cleaned the land off for the liquor store out here. And man has proposed that he's going to have a liquor store out here. And it goes before the Johnson City Commission tomorrow night. But folks, the Johnson City Commission doesn't have the final say. We're going to be a liquor store out here or not. I got news for all five of those commissioners. I'm not going to tell them tomorrow night. But I got news. God can overrule everything if he wants to and keep a liquor store out here. God has a final say tomorrow night. And it would be no problem whatsoever with God to stop that liquor store out there tomorrow night. Do you believe that? Well, certainly. God has all power. And he can turn some way. I called one of the men up, one of the commissioners up today. And he said he didn't know that there's going to be a liquor store in there. One of the commissioners. In fact, I called the mayor up, and the mayor didn't know that there's going to be a liquor store going out here, he said. I guess he's an honest man. I understand he is. So what's happened is the whiskey industry, I'm trying to hurry because I won't let you out because they've already let out the kids out there, but I'm going to finish it. The whiskey industry, the whiskey crowd up there, and by the way, they're willing to sell the souls of man for a dollar bill. That's the whole purpose of it. And they've got with the planning commission and maybe two or three, maybe a majority of those commissioners, and they're railroading it through is what they're doing. Railroading it through. Some of the, they probably didn't go to the commissioners they thought would vote against it. So it looks like, but still, God can stop it if he wants to. We need to pray and take our stand and let God do what he sovereignly wills to do about that liquor store. I'm against it. God's against it. If God doesn't stop it now, he'll judge that crowd at the judgment day one day. God's going to get the final say. And he can turn the hearts of the commission tomorrow night. God can do it. So let's just pray and go up there tomorrow night and leave that in the hands of God. Take our stand for right and for God and against that which is wrong. And do it in the right way. If you speak tomorrow night, speak in the right attitude. Be against it, but speak with the right attitude. Let's let God do what he sovereignly wills. Okay, that's the book of Ruth. I think that's an interesting little book, don't you? And the main thing is, God's in control. That's what the book of Ruth teaches. Esther, little book. I'm trying to get you out of here in a hurry. That's the first mistake I ever made in my life except breathing. That's the first mistake I made. I guess that's the second mistake I made. But the book of Esther, I saw it. Your eyes beamed when you heard me say Ruth. If you hadn't have laughed and if your eyes hadn't have been beaming, I would have never caught my mistake. As soon as I said Ruth, I saw that I'd done something wrong. Okay, we study next time on the great prophet Isaiah, the prince of prophets. I'm going to shut up before making any more mistakes.